TGP. I am gonna jump in to Galatians 2 really quickly. Before I do that, though, I think Erin posted down below this right here. She posted a handful of opportunities to serve, and I pray that we'll walk in those well as the Lord, raises that up within us. And I'm also going to post a couple of resources that I've come up with for today in the comments section below this. So here we go, Galatians 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." So we could spend a whole lot of time on this, but just a couple of things that I think I want to bring out. First of all, he talks about in verse 4, false brothers who were brought in, and this is kind of what I mentioned yesterday, that these people that are trying to tell people to be circumcised in order to be right with Christ. Like, you're saved by faith, but you also need to do these works to be really justified, which is, that's false doctrine, that's heresy. And so he calls them false brothers. They were secretly brought in order to bring them into slavery. And he contrasts that over against, in verse 5, what he calls the truth of the gospel. And the truth of the gospel, that phrase, is used twice in Galatians 2, and we're going to look at the other one in just a minute. But there's this dichotomy that he makes, this distinction between the false brothers who have been brought in to bring all of the church under slavery versus the preservation of the truth of the gospel, which is actually, which sets us free, which liberates us. And he wants to preserve that for the church. The second thing that I, looked at in verses 11 through 14 there is that, we sometimes get the wrong idea, or we can get the wrong idea that we're supposed to be perfect after we become believers and receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know in our own practice that that's not right. But, maybe sometimes we think that the apostles never struggle with anything. But right here, you see Peter fearing the circumcision party. Peter acts after Pentecost, after he's received the New Testament power of the Holy Spirit. He acts with the fear of man. And Paul opposes him. And so there's this brokenness in relationship between Peter and the church, the Gentile church. And he is kind of standing distant from them, not being at, in unity with them. And so what Paul says is, we talked about the preservation of the truth of the gospel. And here, Peter's conduct and Barnabas's conduct and those who were acting hypocritically, he says, was not, verse 14, not in step with the truth of the gospel. And so Paul is very concerned in the book of Galatians about this truth of the gospel. And in the last little section there's so much that's going on, but he's kind of working out why he opposed Peter in Antioch. He talks about the fact that both Jews and Gentiles are saved by faith in Christ. They're justified by faith in Christ. And there's no distinction between that. And then in 19 through 20, he is getting at this idea of union with Christ. So with Christ, we died to the law that we might live to God, and we're crucified with him. And when we're crucified with him, we're united with him in a death like his. And then when he is raised, we are raised up to share in his life. And so this is what Paul is getting at here, this idea of union with Christ by faith. And so a couple of additional resources, like I said, I'll post a couple of these. But first, Romans 6 teaches this idea of union with Christ, buried with him in baptism by death, or buried with him in death by baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, this idea of being united with him in his death and united with him in his resurrection, his new life. There is a book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. It's by a man named Henry Scougal. He wrote it when he was about 29, and I think he died not long after he wrote it. But a fantastic book that talks about union with Christ, and what our lives ought to look like because of that. So, The Life of God in the Soul of Man, I'll link that below. And then there are three songs that kind of get at this idea of union with Christ. First is In Christ Alone. We sang that this past Sunday. My life is hid with Christ on high. That's almost direct language from the book of Colossians that we're going to read in a few days. There's a song called By Faith by Keith and Kristen Getty that's a fantastic song that extols faith for the believers. And then there's a song called And Can It Be That I Should Gain? And I think maybe Wesley wrote that hymn. Anyway, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? So there are some resources for that. And so now I would love to pray with you. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this truth of the gospel. God, I pray that you would remind us this day, this moment of our union with Christ by faith, that we would not seek to live or be sanctified by works of the flesh, but that you, Spirit, would work because we are united by faith with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. We share in his new life. I pray that you, Spirit, would bear your fruit in us of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God, I pray that our conduct, because of our union with Christ by faith, would be in step with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would walk in the truth of the gospel. I pray that our church and that our families in our church would preserve the truth of the gospel and pass it along to the next generation, to take what we've received, not add to it, not take away from it, but treasure it and pass it on. God, I pray that we would trust Christ more today than we did yesterday. Lord, please guard your sheep, guard your people who are scattered all over the place and really aren't going much of anywhere right now. Guard them, protect them, keep them in the fold. And Lord, I pray that they would all trust Christ more today than they did yesterday, and that you would grow your kingdom within us, grow the influence of your Spirit within us. Father, I pray that your mercy would be toward the poor, as Paul wanted to remember the poor, God. So we also ask that that we would remember the poor and pray for them, God, these communities, homeless people and poorer people who are usually more affected by mass disease than people who are middle class and upper classes, God. And so we pray that you would let your mercy be toward them, let your face shine upon those in Wardville and around central Louisiana and around the world who are poor. And God, I pray that you would not let this disease ravage poor communities, Lord, but that you would protect them because they are near to your heart. The lowly, the sojourner and the fatherless and the orphan and the widow, these are near to your heart, and the poor are near to your heart. And so God, I pray that in keeping with that, that you would protect them and that you'd raise up people among us to serve those underserved communities in these times, God, that you'd put into people's hearts to want to serve. I pray that people the world over would turn to you for help, God, and that you would fill the earth with your glory as the waters cover the seas. Lord, we do ask again, as always, that you would turn back the effects of this sickness, God, that this virus would begin to decrease and not increase in its virulence and influence in our world. And Lord, I pray for your mercy to be with those who are sick right now. And God, that you would, Lord, that you would bring healing, and that you would let people not scoff at you and shake their fists at you, but to look to you for help and mercy and find grace in their time of need, and find you to be a strong tower and a refuge in time of trouble. Jesus, thank you for your life, your death, and your resurrection. And thank you that we can be united with you by faith. We make this prayer in your name. Amen. Well, have a great day.